Welcome to our fourth lesson on the kingdom, and I was telling a few people before, we've got a few extras tonight. Part of the reason I'm doing this is because for my own knowledge, and I think I finally got it, maybe. I don't know. The kingdom, we're talking about Matthew 24 and 25, but we've got to do a little review, a little going back. This is a chart that's on the website. You have to get through one of Gil's recordings, but we got a chart that I think I finally, one of the questions you probably have is, when does all these things happen? And who does it all affect? The who, what, when, where? Matthew 24:25 is going to explain quite a bit, but we're going to start with the chart here. We all go back to the crucifixion, of course. Christ. All right. We got that. Plenty of verses. We know the story. Then it's a church age. So far, it's been about 2,000 years, and who knows how much longer. I don't think it's that much longer, but every generation's probably said that. So, we come to the rapture of the church. And I think we're going to look at some of these passages, because we haven't so far, for those of you that are joining us, we haven't looked at some of these, but I want to start with 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. It's not the main part of the lesson tonight, but the rapture of the church. If you want to think about what verse is key, what passage is key, it's 1 Thessalonians 4. You'll recognize the verses, I think, when I get going here. Verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest of that who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus." Those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. "For this we say to you by word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." The believers who have died so far, not the Old Testament saints, but just the New Testament saints from the start of the church, those who came before. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive," believers who are alive, "and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord." Always be with the Lord. "Therefore comfort one another." We're going to be caught up, but the dead in Christ will rise first. So that's the first. Okay. When is that going to happen? Well, that's the first. The next thing on the prophetic timeline. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, one of my favorite chapters of the whole Bible. Last week we talked about Isaiah 53, which is an incredible chapter. And I always like Romans chapter 8, just as far as chapters go. But 1 Corinthians 15, the whole thing we don't have time, obviously, to go through. But verse 50, starting at verse 50. "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery, that we will not all sleep." We will not all sleep. "But we will be changed." We will be changed. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, this mortal must put on the immortal. But when this perishable will put on the imperishable, and this mortal will put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" And we're going to keep going. But the thing is, we're not all going to sleep. We're not all going to die. Praise the Lord if that happens soon. Some of us are praying for that. But those two passages are just crucial. So, church age. Go along. Along comes the rapture of the church. Then what? That's all the believers that are alive and New Testament saints. All up in, we talked last week, by the way, about Isaiah, prophecies in Isaiah and Psalms. The Lord is going to reign. The Lord's going to reign from Zion. Going to be a kingdom. All the nations are going to come to him. Well, that's going to happen, but the believers are gone. Believers are gone. So now we got the 7 years, tribulation. And some people would say, well, there is no seven-year tribulation. Like, how can you? Two weeks ago, we looked at Revelation 20, the millennium. Like, some people believe, well, there is no millennium. It's like, well, how can you do that? Because it's very clear. Seven-year tribulation, the first 3.5 years is going to be peace, right?
Okay, but all the believers are out of the earth. I mean, gone, all right? And I've thought about that. The Left Behind series from, what, 20 years ago? Or I'm not sure how long ago, so it's longer than you think because time goes so quick. But, and people are going to notice that. More than likely, your family and friends are going to go, where did they go? I mean, you think maybe the whole world would think that. But my guess is the whole, I mean, most people are like, people died or some people are missing. But you know what? The rapture is going to take them out of here. More than likely, right after that, some people are going to go, hey, you know what? The Bible is true. Because, I mean, whoa, some of those people that we talked to, wow, that did, they actually prophesied, told about that the coming of the Lord. So I would imagine right after, there's going to be new believers. There's going to be new believers. But then we're going to talk about the man of lawlessness, abomination, coming here in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. The whole Antichrist, man of lawlessness, and then the tribulation, the great tribulation. But there's still believers in there. So now we get to the end of that seven-year period where Christ comes down for a second time to this earth. And he's going to, again, he's going to establish the kingdom. That's what this whole lesson's about. But, okay, what about who's, okay, there's some believers on there. There's terrible tribulation. A lot of people die. A lot of, obviously, earthquakes, sicknesses, those kind of things. At here, we're going to talk about this in Matthew chapter 24. We're going to have another judgment. By the way, all of this basically has a lot of judgment. We're going to have believers taken up to the earth, or taken by his, by our Savior, by Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about the sheep and goats judgment out of Matthew 24, 25 today. Maybe I said that maybe a little prematurely. There's a lot of things going on here, but the sheep and the goats is where the believers go into the kingdom, and the goats are going to be judged and taken out to hell, to their final resting place. Then there's the 5,000 years, Revelation 20 is the biggest chapter on that. Okay, now what's going to happen in the millennium? Unbelievers were judged at the great white throne. Believers went into the millennium for 1,000 years. Are they going to reproduce? And the answer is yes, they're going to have families. And before I forget, this is an interesting time here because we have a combination of things going on here. We're going to have believers come back and ruling and reigning. We're going to have people on the earth that come into this millennium, but we're also going to be having us, the saints, rule and reign. We looked at some of those verses last time, Isaiah, Psalms, some of the, we haven't even touched Ezekiel and a few other prophetic books, but so here's going to be a mixture of glorified bodies and human bodies on the earth that are reproducing. And then at the final, at the end of 1,000 years, Revelation 20, the great white throne judgment, where the unbelievers, everybody's judged. And then we go into the eternal state. Who goes into the eternal state? Believers. And then from then on, we'll talk about Revelation 21 and 22 next time. That'll be our final. And a little bit, I want to cover a little bit about the Davidic throne, because kings, thrones, kingdoms, reigning, we haven't talked about the Davidic throne yet. So, there's some other passages that we won't go to, but here we go. Now, who's going into the kingdom? Who, what, where, when? We don't know when exactly, but it's coming. Hopefully soon. The millennial kingdom is going to be believers at the time that have gone through the tribulation and didn't get killed. They'll go on, reproduce, and at the end of that 1,000 years, again, the unbelievers are judged, and believers will go into the new eternal kingdom. The 1,000 years is just the first part of the millennial. The millennial kingdom is the first part of the eternal kingdom. And it has taken me weeks and months. You know, it's one thing to hear Gil and go through these, and then it's another thing, now I got to tell it. I'm getting there, but. Okay, we're going to start with Matthew 23. And I've talked about Matthew 24, but you might as well set the context.
Matthew 23 at the end, verses 37 through 39. Jesus is, obviously, if you understand, Matthew is about done with his ministry. I mean, he's towards the end of everything. He's talking to the crowds. We won't look there, but the first verse out of Matthew 23 is he's talking to the crowds. Verse 37 out of Matthew 33. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather you, your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Quote out of the Old Testament. He's talking to the crowds, and he's saying, you know what? It's about done. Verse 39, you will not see me. Now, obviously, they're going to see him. He's not crucified yet, and he hasn't risen and gone to the, you know, ascended to the heaven. But his message, his teaching of the crowds, I'm about done. Until you say, Jerusalem, Israel, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Keep that in mind as we go through Matthew 24. Okay? He turns to his disciples, verse 1 and 2 out of Matthew 24. And not a big deal, but he's pointing to the temple buildings. In verse 2 he says, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. I can't imagine the temple. It was big. It was beautiful. It was well done. But he turns and he says, that's going to be all destroyed. Okay? Not one stone. Now, the temple was destroyed. If you were in my regular class, I'd probably ask you, just as feedback, when was the temple destroyed? And the answer is 70 AD. They know all this stuff. The Romans came in and just leveled it. But with a little bit of help with Google, not one stone. That's a foundation stone over there in Israel. We might see that if we got time. But
just a quick comment to you. When he said your house is left to be desolate, is he referring to the temple since it's going to be torn down? Is that a reference?
I think so.
To the temple?
It also could be Jerusalem, or just Jerusalem in general.
Okay.
But because we're looking at 70 AD, they came in and they, well, not just the temple, they took care of Jerusalem. Yep. Good question. The stones are huge, which always, by the way, just my own background with math and everything, like, how did they get those stones there? And how they were good craftsmen. They built an incredible thing. And they fit, and of course they're still there. Quite a few of them are still there. But the temple's gone. All right, the disciples, verse 3. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Three things. When will these things happen about the temple? When is this all going to be done? And what about you? What's the sign of your coming? You're coming back. We'll talk about that here in a moment. And what's the end of the age? Jesus answers two of them. He doesn't answer the third one, but we'll take a look at that. Verse 4 and 5. Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. Now that could be applied to right now, right? I mean, there's a lot of people that are misleading with false teaching and the truth not being in there. But we're talking here at the end, misleading you in the name. Verse 6, you'll be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but this is not the end. We're not quite at the end, but we're getting there. Wars and rumors of wars. Okay? Verse 7 and 8. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. In various places there will be famines and earthquakes, but all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. These are just the beginning. Because we're headed towards that 7-year tribulation where incredible things are going to happen to this earth and to the people on it. Just merely the beginning of birth pangs. And I picked up on, we won't go into all of this, we've got quite a few verses to go through. So, but earthquakes. If you go to Revelation, you don't need to turn there, but Revelation 6 through 19, before Jesus comes back, the judgments. Judgments are incredible. I looked, verse 12 out of Revelation 6, I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood. You go through Revelation 6 through 19, and there's all these different things, but it's been prophesied. I mean, there's been indications of things. The great earthquake, as mentioned before, even told the kids today at school, you know, something came up. God, all God has to do is shake the plates a little bit, and we'll go running. I mean, we will be, I mean, tsunamis and all that kind of stuff. There will be all kinds of things, fires and buildings and all of our wonderful things going down. But Revelation 6:12 has an earthquake. That's not the only one. 16:18, there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been one since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The ultimate, the earthquake, still coming. Which, you read about some of the history of some of the earthquakes. We've had some, I mean, not we, Nebraska, but California, etc. But the great earthquake, still coming. So that's kind of mentioned in Matthew 24. So back to verse 9. Then they will deliver you into tribulation and will kill you. Now we're talking here about the tribulation. All those people that are going to go through this, not necessarily right now. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. They will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all the nations because of my name. At that time, verse 10, many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. So there's just all kinds of things going to go on here at the end, but verse 12. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. The one who endures to the end. If you're a believer, we're supposed to persevere. There's times that maybe you doubt a little bit, or whatever, but we go right on until our last breath. We just keep going. At this time, with the tribulation, the earthquakes, all the things going on in Revelation 6 through 19, there's lots. Hang in there. The one, it's kind of reassuring to me anyway. Just keep going. Verse 20, or chapter 24, verses 14, 15, 16. This gospel of the kingdom, shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. The end of that period, that seven-year period. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, we're not going to turn there, but that mid-tribulation, 3.5 years, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand that those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Israel's going to go through that 3.5 year time period of peace. Wonderful time. The agreement signed and everything. We won't turn to Daniel, but at that time, mid-trib, there's going to be, then starts all that tribulation. Here's a recommendation for those people in Judea, flee when you start seeing the signs. Besides all the other things, when he's in the temple. Chapter 24, verse 17. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things out that are in his house. Whoever's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. Don't wait. Get out of there. There's judgment coming. Verse 19:20. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. Now, we plan on going to Israel. Don's got a trip going in May. And one of the things that always comes up, he says, is Petra, if you understand the area, Jordan. A lot of people think, and this would make a lot of sense, that these people who flee Judea, where do they go? They go to Petra, because there's water, there's already things carved out there. That's pretty amazing. So that's one place that they're going to get out of Jerusalem, all right? Now, here it comes. Here we go. For then there will be a great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. This is the great tribulation, 3.5 years. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved, but for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. The church is gone. The rapture's happened. We got the 7-year tribulation, or 7-year, and then 3.5 years. All this tribulation. The great, since it's never occurred. We've already seen about the earthquake being the greatest ever. This is the ultimate bad times. If we think we have a bad, it's nothing. Right? I mean, it's nothing. I sometimes complain, hopefully not much, to my wonderful wife about some of the wonderful children I get to deal with every day. But when you really think about it, it's temporary. It's nothing. It's not that. It's, my house and my life are not, I'm not in jeopardy. Verse 23, 24, 25. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders, so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. Now, one of the reasons we study this, because there's some people that might think, well, you know, why study about the end times? Because we're going to be gone. Hey, praise the Lord. We're going to be gone. But it's still part of his prophecy. It's still going to happen, and we can share that with other people. One of the things about the Bible, besides being written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years, that 66 books that all fit together, is prophecy, right? Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies of the Old Testament, and guess what? All of these prophecies are going to be fulfilled literally. There is going to be a literal 1,000-year millennial kingdom. It's going to, well, no, it's spiritual. Well, no, why can't it be literal? It's in the Bible. It's in lots of places. This prophecy, he's told us in advance. All right? We've got a lot to swallow here in a moment. Verse 26, 27, 28. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or, behold, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. The Son of Man is coming back a second time. All right? Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. We don't have time to look at Revelation, but if you understand the last judgment, the big battle, there's going to be so many people dying and so much blood that the birds are going to be commanded to come down and eat and partake of that, which is kind of gruesome, but, you know. As a side note, whenever you do your teaching and stuff, and you're reading, you learn something. I'm not going to draw it on the board. Well, maybe I will draw it on the board. Sorry for you on the internet, but the corpses, the vultures, if you read Revelation, there's going to be blood. I mean, well, over there, here's Israel. What's so special about Israel? Okay? Lots of things, but number one, there's nothing there. Right? I mean, you can't be proud. I mean, dirt, and, well, not dirt, rocks and stuff. It's on three continents. We got Europe over here. We got Asia. We got Africa down here. All right? Well, I learned that with the birds, things, as a side note, it's a huge migration path. From where? Well, from Africa on up here to Europe and Russia. So a lot of birds go right through Israel. And they do that because they want to stay like on land rather than going over the Mediterranean. So there might be thousands and thousands and thousands of birds. But wherever the corpse is, there's going to be a lot of corpses. They're the vultures and other birds too. All right. Verse 29. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. We've got the whole, I mean, sun, moon, earthquakes, wars. We got all kinds of things going on. And then what happens in verse 30? When the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. He's coming back again a second time. And as you know the story, the first time, hardly anybody knew who he was. The first time, what? He was a baby. little town in the middle of nowhere. He's coming back a second time. Everybody's. When the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth, everybody, everybody's going to say, they'll mourn, they will see he's coming on the clouds. What a picture, right? You've probably seen some of the paintings of Jesus coming back second time on the clouds with great power and great glory, all right? He will send forth his angels, verse 31, with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of the sky. Now, I had to deal with this a little bit. The believers are gone. The rapture of the church. The believers are all gone. Go through the tribulation. People come to saving faith. His angels are going to come and collect all the elect. I think that's Old Testament saints. Old Testament saints. But I think it's also the believers alive at that time from one end of the sky to the other. Then I start skipping around a little bit. I skip verse 32. I'll read it for you. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. Jesus does a lot of parables right now. Learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. He's coming. He's coming back again. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. All right? We've got one step away there. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but this is going to stay. This has stayed around for 2,000 years, pretty much, in its completeness. It's not going to change. You and I are going to pass away. Hopefully not too terrible of a death, but his words will not pass away. All right, then there's some more parables. There's some more things that, for my part, I wanted to just skip over. Go down to verse 40 and 41. Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women at the grindstone at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. He just came back. We are about ready to go into the millennial kingdom, because he's getting his people. The tribulation's over. We're going to talk about the kingdom, the millennial kingdom, here in a moment, starting in chapter 25. But go to verse 42. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is. To me, that's one of the most things out of this passage is be on the alert. It could happen. It could happen any time. The rapture of the church and all this set in place. Once it starts, it's just going to keep running on. To me, that's awesome. That's like, wow, this is going to happen. Be on the alert. I mean, I'm supposed to be anyway, but verse 46, he goes into some parables, some teaching about slaves. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. He's going to give several passages here. We're talking about that in chapter 25. Be ready. Be ready. He's coming. If we're talking about the millennial going into the millennium, then we're going to talk about the sheep and the goats here in a moment. If you're a believer and you see these signs and stuff, you're going to go into the kingdom. If not, you're not a believer, you're going to be judged. You're going to have judgment and going to be sent to hell. So be ready. Next slide. Here we go with chapter 25. Verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Ah, the bridegroom. The bridegroom's coming back. The bridegroom, Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is coming for who? His followers. The bride of Christ, all right? The kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins, and we won't go through the whole passage because there's 5 that are what? 5 that are ready. And 5 that aren't. He's coming back. We're going to have a judgment here in chapter 25. But we're not going to read the whole passage. That would take a little bit too long, I'm afraid. Verse 13 has the same consideration. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. You know, it's a good reminder to me. I'm supposed to be sharing Christ because he's coming back. There's judgment. Throughout the whole book of Revelation, throughout these passages, there's judgment coming.
You need to be saved. You need to know the Savior. He's going to be the Son of Man, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You don't know the day or the hour. Skip down to verse 29. Another good thing to remember. We're talking about going into the kingdom. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, there to be some people say, well, there's not really a hell. And there's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. This here would be talking, we're going to be talking about the sheep and the goats here in a moment. Believers going into the kingdom, others being going away. The worthless slaves, the ones that do not accept the salvation provided by Jesus Christ, are going to be thrown into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then comes just incredible verses. But verse 31, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. The Son of Man, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is coming back again in glory. Everybody will see him, all the nations. He's going to set up his what? His kingdom. And he will sit on his glorious throne. King, kingdom, throne, reigning. Verse 32. He will separate them one from another. Separate them one from another. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. This is why it's called the sheep and the goats judgment. All right, the sheep, that's pretty clear. Believers, right? Why did God compare believers to sheep? Well, we need a shepherd. We need a good shepherd, right? We need someone to lead us. We're not that bright. We think we are, but we're not that bright. We need shepherd. We need leading. We need to rely on him, right? The great shepherd, the pastures, etc. The goats. Nancy and I have about 5 acres south of Lincoln. We are never going to have goats, all right? Several people, we won't name any names, but have mentioned that we ought to keep the grass down and, you know, just move them around and have goats. And no, they are obnoxious. They are rude. They get into everything. They climb on everything. They can climb on everything. They eat about anything. Do you guys have goats? Okay. It's just, there's a difference, right? Sheep, okay, goat, no. Okay, it's called the sheep and the goats because he's going to separate them. He'll put the sheep on his right. We could do a whole study on the right hand. Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the right side. Those of you that are left-handed, don't take it personally. It's not okay, but the sheep go on the right and the goats go on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. The kingdom's coming. You're going to go into the kingdom, all right? Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will also say to those on his left, the goats, all right? Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. Now, I know our pastor has gone over this many times, but now it really hits home for me. We are talking about the judgment, all right? Going into the kingdom, the sheep and goats judgment, Matthew 25. We're not talking about today's society, because those verses at the end, I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. Wait a minute. Oh, we're supposed to feed all of our neighbors here in this earth. And we're supposed to take care of the poor and the, well, that's kind of true with other passages maybe. But this isn't what we're talking about. We're talking about that time of that 3.5 years tribulation. And a lot of it I would take would be believers, Jewish believers, taking care of those people, maybe even in Jerusalem or in Israel. I'm not talking about right now in the United States. We need to start a food program for the, you know, for the poor. Or give out a bottle of water to anyone. Nothing wrong with that, but the context is going into the kingdom during the tribulation. These will go to eternal punishment, the righteous into eternal life. So we're separated. This is no separation. At the rapture of the church, there's a separation. Believers
New Testament saints, caught up. We're going to come back. We're not going to look at it tonight, but we're going to come back, believers, and reign with. What are we exactly going to do? I don't know. We might be in some charge of something pretty spectacular, but my guess is it will probably be pretty simple. Nothing too big to talk about. I've gone over this so many times. Okay, what is the order? What all happens? I don't have the verses up here, but we can track them down. The first thing, rapture of the church. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. New Testament saints will rise, followed by believers. All right. Now that sets the whole chain in motion. Tribulation saints. We won't turn there, but Revelation 20 talks about during. Well, maybe we will. Why don't we just turn there? Revelation chapter 20. So that you can see, I don't have a slide for it, but. Revelation 20, verse 4. Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God. And those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead and on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The beheading part, the tribulation, all that kind of stuff, the torture that there's going to be going on. And we see that right now, even our own day. ISIS, and they're proud to put on internet videos of people, or pictures at least. I haven't watched them. I don't think I can stand of just beheading. It's going to go on during the tribulation. The word of God, we talked about the beast and his image, the mark, we haven't talked about, but it's going to be there. They came to life and reigned with Christ for, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. So, again, that reigning part. They're resurrected at the end of the tribulation before the millennial kingdom. We just looked at Matthew 24 and 25. Believers, the sheep, go into the kingdom. Unbelievers go to judgment. Often the weeping, gnashing of teeth. At the end of the millennium, 1,000 years, what's going to happen during the millennium? People are going to have kids. They're going to go about business. But I don't think they're going to see us. But we're going to be floating around. We're going to be hidden. We're going to be ruling and reigning some part of the world. It's hard to tell. But that 1,000 years, things are going to go on. It's a transition, right? It's a transition between current state to eternal state. And one of the best reasons why it's there is because we haven't talked about this yet, but Satan's bound, Revelation 20. Satan's bound. There's no influence of him and his power. People will still turn away from Jesus Christ because that's the way we are. It'll be peaceful. We looked last week out of Isaiah, the wolf, you know these verses, I hope. The wolf will lie down with the lamb and all that, you know, the cat, the fatling calf, and it'll be wonderful. It'll be peaceful. At that time, we also looked in Isaiah, if you die before 100 years old, you will be thought of as accursed. If you die before you're 100, so people will die but in the millennium. But if you die, you need to live an old life. So that's the millennium. At the end of the millennium, the great white throne judgment. We're in Revelation 20. We might as well take a look at it. Verse 11. Revelation 20, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, each, every one of them, according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So at the end of 1,000 years, another judgment. Everybody, the great white throne, the king, is going to judge everybody. All of these people that are not written in the book of life. And the one thing that I keep coming over, because I've read different things, you know, verse 12 at the end, according to the deeds. See, you're going to be judged according to your deeds. Well, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and lots of other things. No, it just shows your heart. Well, see, we should start a food pantry and we should be doing all these wonderful social... No, that's not the point. Your deeds just show your heart, you know, what you do. I'm trying to get that through to some of my students, that your deeds in class, with maybe a particular math teacher at a particular math time, your deeds, you know, what you reflect about what's in your heart. I've got one quote out of The Greatness of the Kingdom by Alan J. McLean. I thought it was worth reading, just to kind of sum it up. Page 368 out of The Greatness of the Kingdom, amazing book. He talks about Luke 21. Luke 21 is the corresponding, pretty much the same thing as Matthew 24 and 25. The foregoing facts about Luke lead to a certain highly important conclusions in the field of New Testament eschatology. First, the kingdom will not arrive until men have witnessed all the signs described by our Lord. There's signs coming, right? Rumors of war, earthquakes, famine, all that kind of stuff. The kingdom will not arrive until men have witnessed all the signs described by our Lord. But second, true believers may legitimately look for the redemption of their bodies. We're going to be glorified bodies, redeemed. We've already been bought with a price, but redemption of their bodies at any time after the beginning of these things. The rapture and all that stuff got to happen first, but after that. Then, here's the nice part. Thus, in Luke's account of our Lord's final prophetic discourse, we have an intimation of the later Pauline eschatological order of events. Luke talks about these things. Paul's going to clear it up. 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians. Here's the order of events. First, a rapture of believers. Second, a period of worldwide tribulation and judgment. Third, the glorious appearing of our Messiah. And finally, the arrival of the kingdom. So there's going to be tribulation and all kinds of stuff, but then the king is coming. There's judgment coming, but there's going to be a kingdom. Next week, we're going to talk about Revelation 21, 22, the end of the world. What about the new heavens and the new earth? What's going to happen there? Who's going to be there? What it's going to be like? But it is an amazing thing to think about. He's coming back. He's going to set up a kingdom. We were talking, some of us, last week about this has to happen. He has to reign. He's going to make judgments among peoples. People are going to die. If it's just spiritual, I'm sorry. It's not happening now. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not ruling and reigning. People aren't coming to him. He's not making decisions based on... He's waiting. He's going to come, sit on his throne, and rule from Zion, and then eternal state. It's not happening now. And it's not spiritual. I mentioned this last week because the Roman Catholic Church, their theology says that they are the kingdom. They are the kingdom. Well, all these prophecies don't make any sense if it's the church now. Because there's certain things that have to happen. And they will happen. Just as everything else has been fulfilled, they will happen. And we'll take your question after we pray, and then we'll be here for a while. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for another opportunity to talk about you, to think about your words, to look at your wonderful doctrine about last things. And thank you for all the writers that have given us insights and help us to get these things clear about what's going to happen. And just pray for the other people that we know that are not believers, that do not trust in the salvation provided by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but give us grace and boldness to proclaim his message until you come again. In his name we pray. Amen.